Mr. Mngoni would insist in to say, good morning. We have only one item on the agenda. Without fail, all the time, as and when we meet, Minister, there are issues that are expected to, for lack of a better word, overflow into the next session. Now, these are issues that we entertain, but without having to conclude on any of them. Hence, then, either in writing, the department shall have been expected to forward such information. I cannot think on top of my head as to which those issues are. We are always guided and assisted by the team that is doing administration or secretarial services. We hope to bring some of those next week as and when we conclude this term so that we do not leave, you know, issues that could have been raised in the first term for another term. They shall have to be communicated in good time before end of tomorrow's, or Thursday rather, so that the department can come prepared that's the issue that we might wish to deal with going forward. The second issue relates to some of the changes that we might be expecting either in the coming week or in the term to come after the April recess, wherein we are, Mr. Basson, going to see some of us still being part of this committee and some of us not being part of the committee. But that is awaiting formality. That's a detail that we will have to be informed through the ATC about. The third area, before we get into the specific issues for the day, are your apologies that we received in writing, I must say. The Deputy Minister, maybe Madia might just wish to speak on some of those issues.
We received apologies from the DG, Mr. Sufiso Mkhize, the Deputy Minister, Mr. Tsibukulu, and Ms. Kawula.
If you can indicate where and what are they here not, are they not here for?
Okay, my laptop is actually being utilized at the moment.
I was just asking Madia if she can indicate as to what the causes of those apologies are, which we normally, by tradition, do state in these committee meetings. I can think on top of my head here of one of those that I've just seen in writing, that Mom Kaula has been in Russia on committee work, on her other committee work that she's involved in. Members, in the absence of any other items, which we only have one in this instance, we shall then have to, without waste of time, go straight to Mr. Chalke.
I will have moved on the issue of the meeting with the Speaker. Have we dealt with that part?
Madia, you want to say something on that? she says no. But in a nutshell, we couldn't pin down the speaker on any of the requests that we made. Last week was her last week here. As of this week, she is not in Parliament. That's what I was informed by her office. I did physically, personally, go to her office, and unfortunately, the time that we had rescheduled, or rather scheduled, she had to chop and change her program. So that's where we are on the matter. That I can imagine Mr. Chauke is reminded by the announcement of an apology of Mrs. Kaula. Okay, Mr. Chauke.
You remember we then resolved that rather than, because it's clear that we would not be able to go overseas because of whatever, we then resolved that the committee will then work on the trip that we planned and it not materialized to Lesotho. And I don't know, the management committee has not met, I'm not sure. Maybe you may want to process it from that angle, Chair. That becomes our priority, therefore, if there's anything that we can do, Chair. Thank you.
Thanks for that, Mr. Chauke. I guess those are issues that are more administrative that you will have to deal with. as he mentions that in a management committee session, all what we're trying to do is to do our work. Part of that, Mr. Chauke is mentioning something about, a need to pursue still that, whether you call it oversight or study tour, in effect, it is more of an oversight going to Lesotho, and the project there that we are about, that we've taken a keen interest in, has to do more with the Lesotho Highland Water Project. So that's what Mr. Chauke is talking about, which is a combination of both, as I said, oversight, but largely more of an oversight rather than being a study tour. That's what that Lesotho Highland Water Project is about. It happens to be outside of the country, which is in Lesotho, which is not far. However, the reality is it is an oversight, something that we need to take a very keen interest in. Okay. I see you are thinking, deep in thoughts, Mr. Basson. Minister, the floor is yours with your team. On the construction unit, that's what we are about today, and the briefing as such.
Good morning. Oh yes, thank you very much. Good morning, honourable members, chairperson. Chairperson, the I had a good meeting yesterday with the acting DG, because that's now the acting DG, because the acting DG is in Brazil. Today, tomorrow, and until the 23rd, will be in New York on departmental business. The deputy minister should have returned. I think yesterday she was also in New York on rural women and so on. So the acting teacher now, Ms. Sandile Makatini, will make a presentation. I just want to preface it by saying, Honorable Chair, that this unit is one of three entities that are in fact seized with almost the same thing in the department, because the other one is a supportive one. Now, this is a matter which is receiving attention. I thought I should prioritize it as part of ensuring that there is not just effectiveness in terms of ensuring that the work of the department is done, but also there's cost effectiveness in doing so. Because once you have many structures doing the same thing, without being coordinated, then you most likely going to waste a lot of resources on that. So what we will see here next time, when we come back, Chair, we will be talking about how we are progressing in integrating those three into one entity, which will provide the service more effectively and cost effective. Thank you, Chair. Ms. Makatini will provide, Acting DDG will provide the report. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Minister, Chairperson of the committee, and committee members, colleagues. I'm going to present the overview of our construction management unit, which is residing within the NIIR branch, which is the infrastructure branch of the department. I'm just going to touch on the background, where it all started and where we are to date, and also perhaps in the recommendations, as the Minister has alluded to the fact that we are looking at a transformation process where we are going to look at the most effective and cost-effective model that can be adopted moving forward. The history of our construction branch, it started in the 1930s, and it was specifically designed up till today. It's a unit that was created to build dams in the country. It was then formalized through the National Water Act of 1956, and in 1965 it commenced with the building of the Orange Fish River Project. Subsequent to that, in the 1998 Act, National Water Act, it dealt with primarily Section 76, where it looks at the issue around the recruitment of the staff. And I think most of the problems that we are facing currently are about the recruitment process, as well as who may then appoint the people working under construction. I would like to draw the committee's attention to Section 76 of the National Water Act, which provides for the department, where necessary, to appoint employees on contract outside the provisions of the Public Service Act. The 3,000 odd members of our construction unit, they are not appointed as per the Public Service Regulation. They are on contract, and their contracts are linked to that particular project at that particular area. It's the DG who has a delegation to appoint these people, and their appointment must be linked to a construction works or any investigating work around the site. Investigatory work would include your surveying, would include your geotech analysis, perhaps before even the construction starts. But those activities are covered by the Act. Those people can be appointed, and they're appointed only on contract. And the department, the Director General is expected to consult with the Department of Public Service Administration on a regular basis to determine the conditions of employment. That has been part of the reasons why we had a strike, and that has been since resolved, and we've agreed that we are revising the conditions of service, and the Minister has approved. It will now be going through to the Public Service Administration for their concurrence. And such employees are remunerated from money appropriated for that purpose by Parliament. I think this particular one specifically means if you are appointed, and let's say, for an example, for Glen William, your remuneration is linked to that particular project. That's how we interpreted the Act. Now, the challenge that we are having, which has led to where we are, when there's no project, where then do you get your salary? The construction business unit as a branch, it derives its mandate from the NIIR, which is National Water Infrastructure Branch, because it is part of the NIIR, whose mandate is to construct new water resources infrastructure to meet industrial, agricultural, and social, specifically domestic bulk water supply requirements and to facilitate economic growth and development, including the rehabilitation and upgrading of existing water supply infrastructure to comply with international dam safety standards. This is the structure of the branch. The director, the minister, director general, and then the DDG. There are six chief directorates, and construction is one of those chief directorates under DDG NWIR. This is the structure reflecting the business unit as it is. City construction management currently is vacant. Construction supports Masha Maraka. She just called. She's struggling to find parking. She's on her way. And then construction equipment, Mr. Gert Forte. And then you then have there's construction north. There's construction north covers areas primarily around Limpopo. The northern part of Limpopo. Construction east is the eastern part of Mpumalanga, as well as the whole of KwaZulu-Natal. Construction south is Eastern Cape and Western Cape. Construction west is northwest and the lower part of Limpopo. And then we've got a fleet management unit, which is located in Yankemdorp. I always say it's in the middle of nowhere. It's around on your way from Bloemfontein to Kimberley. It's a small town, and this particular unit, and we do a lot of mechanical work as well as manufacturing of some equipment and pipes, has been actually a major cost driver in that particular, a major job creator in that particular area. And that's where we keep most of our plant as well. And then they do acquisitions of equipment, they manufacture, and they also do rebuilds. The other units, besides the construction equipment unit, they are just primarily focusing on the construction of project. The core competencies of construction is the building of large dams, the rehabilitation of existing dams, pipes, bulk and reticulation canals. We also do some aspects of roads, not all of them. Gauging stations, water purification works, reservoirs, pump stations, bridges, and wires. I think I must draw the committee's attention at this stage that we are primarily focusing more on civil in construction management. And then we are in future looking at building the skill around mechanical as well as electrical, which at this stage, even when you give our construction management unit work to do, we still have to outsource our mechanical and electrical because it is not their core competence. The staff, personnel, the total is 3,135 people that are currently working under construction. Some are on standard contracts. The standard contract, which is the core staff, managerial staff, those are advertised nationally. The local staff, which is project-based, we use the local steering committee for recruitment processes. We don't advertise because it is your general labor. These are the guys that you would use the municipalities as well as community forums. So those are the people that are just general labor. Then you have your specialist contract, which is advertised, and as well as the senior management. The senior management is permanent contract, and that is advertised. And most of the senior managers are under DPSA, under DPSA regulations. They are not appointed according to Section 76. That's what it's 3+1, which is the level 13 upwards. Those are DPSA. Sorry, it's not PSA, it's DPSA employees. And then the Section 76 is its level up to level 12, from level 1 up to level 12. It's the Section 76 employees. So from director upwards, those are the people that are appointed under under TPSA regulations. This is the demographics, the gender, as well as the skills set. As you can see, Chairperson, that we've got a very high level of people that are in the very high level of people that are males, which is something that we are currently dealing with in terms of gender parity, as well as the race. Race we have managed from the time I took over. We have seen the change, where 80% of the people working under construction are coming from the previously disadvantaged communities. The concern that we still have, that unions are questioning us on, is that in the 13%, you also, they are saying we are very white on top and very dark at the bottom. It's something that we are currently busy with. We're working together with unions to make sure that we change the color of construction, but also not in an irresponsible way. I've made it a point when discussing with them that building of dams, you just can't wake up and put someone. They have to grow through the ranks, but we need to make sure that there is a process that we are putting in place that is accelerating the development of these young ones that have just joined us. We are working very well with them. As you can see, if you look at the structure, we're beginning to see some construction sites that are led by young black engineers. The challenge that we are still having is the issues around extra registration. We wish we can have more people that are getting registered. At the moment, and especially under civil, we only have 8 that are registered with EXA, and 1 registered with SAISI, 17 registered, I'm an industrial technician, 17 registered with EXA, and 9 registered with SAISI. Would want to see this figure changing. I think I want to draw the committee's attention to the last the last column of this slide, which is the registration with the South African Council of Project Management. This is the challenge that we are facing. We only have two people that are registered. So these are the only two people that are supposed to be assisting us in managing a budget of plus or minus 5 billion. That is the challenge that we are facing as a department. That is giving us sleepless nights. That we are also not comfortable that sometimes we come to the committee and we are found wanting. And the challenge is, it's not that we want to be found wanting. It's the fact that we are struggling to recruit these people. We have advertised more than 3 times. Just the whole batch will come out with no one that fits that job specification. And we've discussed, the minister have indicated, and in the documents I've shared with him, we've done analysis to show that with the kind of resources, the kind of salary scales that you have in public service, if the truth is you can't really recruit a good quality. These people, in fact, even the ones that we're training through our learning academy, you train them, they get registered, and then public sector, mining houses, they take them at double the price, double what you are giving to them. And I'm hoping, because if we then, the minister has indicated, let's look at creating a model that is going to be able to balance the issues around the public, an SOE, which is looking at balancing the private interest as well as the public interest. I think at that stage, perhaps we'll have better flexibility in terms of making sure that we come out with salaries that are market related. So the challenge, that is the challenge that I am sitting with, where I have to in most instances, go down and stop managing at my level. Go down and some instances just go and do project management because we are really struggling. We have a set of brilliant engineers, but a brilliant engineer does not make a project manager. That is the challenge that I'm currently facing. And that you can begin to see it with the fact that now that monitoring performance is monitored, the way it is being monitored, and you're having your APPs, you're having the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation. Previously, we used to be able to hide. We were able to do it a warp. We were supposed to have done it over 3 years. We did it over 5 years. But right now, there are challenges, and people are becoming more vocal. People are becoming more aware of their rights. We are getting sued left, right, and center of standing times and all these things because of the problem with project management capacity. This is the employment pattern that shows the demographics over the past 5 years, and it shows, I think I've alluded to the fact that from looking at the 2008 to date, you can see the changes that we have done in making sure that the construction changes the color. I'm sure the committee will remember there were instances, not once or twice, where this unit was called, they used to say, the sixth floor of NWIR. It was in papers, it was on Mail and Guardian, that I was keeping a white cabal at the sixth floor of City Bank building. But we have changed that. I do agree, at some stage, not far from now, 4 or 5 years back, you used to walk to construction, everybody was white. It was really white. But we have changed that, as you can see the patterns. But we are also saying, I do stand by the fact that it's dams, it's civil, it's deadly. You just cannot be irresponsible about transformation. It has to be progressive, and you need to make sure that you balance those issues. Because one mistake, a dam breaks, I think it can wipe out the whole town. The transformation issues, I think, I've dealt with. Looking at the overall demographics, as I'm saying, we are still a little bit white on top, but we are working on it. And then I'm then going to go to a slide that deals with the business unit option examples that when we were asked, because when the committee asked us to come here, we had already sat down as a team and said, in the midst of everybody believing that perhaps the construction may no longer be a relevant model that can be used to deliver water resource infrastructure, we sat as a team and we said, what is it that we think we can do? What is our competitive advantage that we think then we can push forward to make sure that we salvage the unit? We then looked at a specialized construction unit that deals with the dam construction, dam rehabilitation, as well as measuring wears. The possible funding for that was the project-based augmentation. I think this is the current model as it is now, but with some limitations, because we've seen over the past 3 years where some of the dam construction works that were given, those agreements were terminated, and we ended up with some people that could not be placed because there were no projects. We also felt that we need to move forward and develop a project management support unit within construction that was going to focus on CAPEX projects, including RBIC, ACIP, it's Regional Bulk Infrastructure Grant, the Accelerated Community Infrastructure Program, ROCS being the Rehabilitation of Conveyancing System. That's where we rehabilitate our canals, as well as looking at where contract use as a means to assist with SMME development. So we were trying here to be relevant, if I may say. And then we were also looking at perhaps we can also be used as part of the rapid response unit of the department, especially around drought and flood-related emergencies. And I must also say, Chairperson, that if you look at the founding documents as well as the best practices all over the world, why water departments would always keep a small component of construction is because water by its very nature is such that there are instances where you just need somebody to be on site there and there. You don't have to go out on tender. And it's best practices in most countries of the world. We've done our research. And if you look at the founding documents as well, construction unit was also built to make sure that the state is able to deal with those emergencies. But over the past 3 years, as the committee knows, we saw our role being limited drastically, in some instances ending up without even having a job. And that, I must also say to the committee, that instances where we did not have a job meant that, because we did not dismiss people, the less project we had, it was more expensive it became to use construction because of the of the overheads, as well as the fact that the economies of scales were against us. We were no longer able to do more with less. And as a result, it ended up, if you look at us with less jobs and you then take that information, you would think that it's expensive to do work with us. So there is a model that we have where we can show you that this is where we break even. If you give us this number of jobs, this is how it will cost the state. And you can see that the curve goes down because of the number of jobs that you had. Now, if you reduce the number of jobs that we have, the curve then in terms of expenditure goes up because we have to cross-subsidize, especially on the P's and G's of the unit. So we are also looking at the operations and maintenance support, specifically on civil. As I said earlier on, that we are not very strong on mechanical and electrical, but there is some civil work that takes place, betterment work that takes place in some of our infrastructure. The construction projects, over the 4 years, we start with 13, 14. As you can see, Chair, the number reduces. Let's take the amounts, because here we even though the number of projects increased, but it was smaller projects because we were then able, over the 3 years, when we realized that our space was becoming more limited in dam construction, we then moved and started getting work from RBIC, which is the Regional Infrastructure Bank. Then it has a lot of small projects, but they are not making the amount of money that we were making. In 13-14, we had almost 2 billion budget. 16-17, we had 1.2 billion budget. And then this is the same information. It was in graphic order. Right now it's in the tables. You can see we started at 14-15 at 1.5. We are sitting at 1.2. We could be, had Eklund William took off, we could be perhaps be at 1.8, but that, I must say, took a serious knock on us. Construction management, the current status, the financial constraint that are placed on us, I've explained, is excessively felt within the Chief Directorate. All operational activities, as I was explaining, the cost of employment, procurement of goods and services, maintenance and procurement of construction equipment, manufacturing of material and equipment, and training and development are funded by projects that are obtained from clients. Now, when there are no projects, all these things suffer. The cost of employment becomes huge. We are also not the yellow fleet. There's a huge component of yellow fleet that we own. It's all over the country. You can see it in Yankemdorp. That, in some instances, these days we struggle even to pay for the licenses because those things must be licensed with the city, the municipalities. We're struggling with all those things, and those are just cost drivers that you can't do away with. Now, when that equipment is not engaged, you then have to look at where do you pay for the maintenance, and that money is not in your budget. COE project. It's compensation of employees on project with budget versus project without budget. As you can see, operations, we are looking at the total is about 2.8 million, sorry. East is 18 million, north is 11 million. Now, I think let me draw the committee's attention to the project without budget. Under central cluster, you have the cost of almost 8 million. Out of that, 4 million, it's people that we are paying that do not have, but there is no budget for them, but they have to be paid. And then Amna North, we have 4 million, and then there's almost 2 million of people that must be paid, and there's no budget for that. And then South, we have, this is where you see the impact of Clan Ulyan on South. South is Western Cape and Eastern Cape. South, we have 1.9 people that are engaged in project, and then 3 million people are not engaged in project, and we still have to pay them. West, 3 million rands. So we're paying them 3 million, and we out of the whole total component of people who are 144, 186 are not involved in project as we speak. And then West, again, 10 million that is paid on people that are involved in project, and out of that 600,000, they are not involved in project. So all in all, just looking at that column, 600,000, all in all, under that column, you have 10 million rand that must be paid to people that are not involved in projects. These are the people that are on site. And then under support, again, you are looking at about 3 million rands for people that are not also involved on site, but we have to pay. These are the things that then are hitting very hard on our expenditure pattern as well as on our budget. This is the plant and equipment as of June 2017. The total number of yellow fleet is up, is 1,317. The net book value is 467,000. The acquisition cost was 1 million. Total number of white fleet is 708. Net book value is 46. Acquisition cost is 117,000. Total value of stationary machines is 720. Net book value is 43,000, and acquisition cost is 177,000. Total number of equipment, all in all. Total number of equipment is 2,745,000, and the total number of the total acquisition value is 1,320,000. So it's quite a huge component of the total number of assets in our asset register. The yellow fleet. We also have buildings. We have construction houses. We have 92 construction houses all over the country, and office buildings. We have 2 office buildings. The net book value of all of them is 41 million. It's almost 42 million. Then under the recommendations that we have shared with the minister, we have requested and we have agreed also with the organized labor that we would really appreciate to see construction being allocated more projects to reduce the impact over of the expenditure that is caused by existing resources within the unit. Also, the biggest challenge we shared with the minister is that the person who buys paper and pens He's also buying pipes. And that is not industry standard. Construction units are managed by quantity surveyors and cost estimate and cost engineers. Under our case, which I think has, that's what it takes, the process. The process used to take 3 months on average, the turnaround time to acquire any other part for construction. Currently, on average, it takes 320 days. Now, that has an impact on construction performance. Hence, when you look at it at face value, and you are sitting in a management meeting and you are asking, guys, why is that project not moving? You would think that it's construction that is to be blamed. But it is the enablers, especially recruitment. In 2014, 2015, the delegations were also taken away from us. We can no longer employ labor. Labor, just the person who mixes a dagger. That person, that appointment must be done at head office. That then takes very long. The paperwork sometimes takes 6 months. And that time, guys are standing on site and work is not continuing. So we have requested that there must be a system of monitoring. We are not saying everything was honky-dory on the ground. There are always, my colleagues are always talking about my unit that has the highest number of transgressors and people stealing or fuel and what. But I mean, there can be a mechanism of monitoring from head office by putting systems instead of taking all the delegations, because by trying to fix that, what has happened is that now most sites have grinded to a halt. You go on site to take a visit, guys will tell you, we can't continue, ma'am. There is a part that we are waiting for. Where is it? We are waiting for debug to sit. Sometimes debug doesn't sit. Now, those delegations are having also a serious impact on our performance as construction, and they are costing a lot of money. And then we then requested in last year, October, top management, that the DG and top management, they need to allow NWIR to appoint a professional service provider specializing in construction business. That team must consist of industry experts in construction management, human resources, procurement, construction asset management specialist, construction administration specialist, to further investigate the areas of wastage within the city construction management, and also to develop a turnaround strategy for the unit. Because in most instances, we are being told that we are wasteful, we are not efficient, and we do admit, from where we are sitting, I don't want to say that we are perfect. But I do think that it's systemic issues rather than our engineers not being able to do the work. And as I said, if you don't have a well-oiled procurement machinery for construction, you don't have a well-performing site. And then the recommendations, therefore, when we had a meeting with the minister, was let's collapse. We immediately look at a process of collapsing the WTE, which is actually, WTE is seen as a branch currently, but it is actually our finance support structure. It is just finance of NWIR, because NWIR had to be ring-fenced when there was the process of establishing an agency in 2007. That's how it started. So Minister is saying, let's collapse the infrastructure branch, the WTE, and as part of the roadmap towards the establishment of the agency, there was the issue of collapsing TCTA as well to form a state-owned entity. We will explore a public-private partnership, and ownership will be determined by the state will be the majority shareholder, and we'll then move towards getting a national treasury concurrence. That process is being handled by my colleague, Togo, who is dealing with the establishment of the entities, as well as the whole water sector transformation process. The minister is also giving us top management a task to make sure that we look at the most effective model across the value chain on how best can we deliver water efficiently and effectively for communities and as well as industry to grow. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Minister? Okay. Yeah, that's the report from the department. I was a bit lost at some point. I hope to be corrected going forward. On one hand, you have the staff members in the unit that are not full-time as per, what do you call it, public sector? Public Service Administration. On the other hand, these are staff members that are employed on a contractual basis. But on the other hand, you are having the staff that cannot be employed but only by your HQ. You cannot employ. But later, you get to hear that a service provider has to be given the right to employ as a professional service provider as the unit, or rather your division, so to speak, in what you call it, your infrastructure branch, if you like. I got confused as I saw a yo-yoing situation. Mr. Basso?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I want to start with a recommendation whereby you want to collapse Quarter Trading Entity, the Construction Unit, and TCTA. I don't know who has thought this out, but you should be mad going that route. TCTA is the arm of the department that do funding. They seek funding outside. They've got a credit record. Now, if you want to collapse a water trading entity that's bankrupt into this, it will affect their credit rating. So we'll pay more for money like Lesotho, Berg River, wherever you need them to get funding. It will influence the credit rating. Now, this, what you're trying to do here now, about 7-8 years ago, you tried the same thing. National Treasury stopped you for the same reason. National Treasury's got to give a guarantee. Now, who's going to borrow money if you collapse the water trading entity that municipalities, water boards, whoever owe them money, is more than 10 billion rand. You collapse them into a TCTA. What do you think will happen with the credit rating of TCTA? Won't work. And I guarantee you National Treasury will not approve it. It will have a major effect on financing with projects like Lesotho, where your interest rate will be much higher, the risk is higher, because the balance sheet of that entities will look different than what TCTA looking at the moment. That's why you borrowed money last year from the Reserve Bank to make sure you could stand good for loans TCTA had to pay. That's why that happened. We were informed that's the reason why it happened. Because as soon as TCTA could not pay the obligations that was under contract, it would have meant that they could pull in the guarantees of the Reserve Bank, and then government should stand for it in any case. Coming back to the problem with the construction unit, is the department's own making. You took away all financial delegates. That's why I agree with you, and I am on your side concerning this, the construction unit. You've just put them on site with their hands tied behind their back, because someone that, like you said, that orders these pens must order a special pipe. He doesn't know anything about special pipes. And then the costs start to run on those projects. And then it's not the right route to say, but let's go with a record that we have of the department paying. Going to a, go outside on tender and the project stops because you can't pay them, you will get costs running hundreds of thousands per day in escalation costs because you are not paid. Whilst your construction unit inside, you've just showed us, you are anyway paying them, but you don't give them projects. So the mere fact that there is a decline is not of their own making, it's the making of the department and the previous minister. Now I can take you to the, it's a very good example. If you go and look at Clem William Dam, the cost with a 15% inflation included 2.055 billion rand to do that project, which they already spent 151 million on site establishment. So 131 million. When you look at the cheapest tender that came in, it was 2.2 billion plus 131 million you need to add, and then you see that construction unit is more than 400 million cheaper with a 15% escalation. And on the tender documents, there's no escalation. That's the price. If we stand, if there is inflating prices, the price will go up. You don't control that. You've got the fleet. You've got challenges in some of your, like you said, and I agree. But that's something you can deal with, is your management, your project management where you've got. But Minister, please, collapsing this into each other, go and sit down with TCTA, sit down with Treasury, and you'll find out that that model is not going to work. What could work, and which I think we should look at, is the chairperson asked every time last week, previous week, and the week before that, what's the main business of the water boards? Why do we appoint water boards to do projects on behalf of the department? Why not the construction unit? The water boards got no expertise. They will appoint someone from outside. If you deal with it via your construction unit, whether you take infrastructure and construction unit, make them one, it's fine. Make them a water board, the same entity as a water board, with a CFO, with a water board, or construction board. Let them run as an entity on their own eventually. But then the department must give them the work. And then the department of local government, where it's water infrastructure, give that to them to do that work. Then we create work and we make sure that we can do it cheaper. I can agree with you that it becomes more expensive with a water board, with a construction unit, because, like you said, on the whip dam, it took you longer. But go and analyze why it took you longer. It took them longer to get equipment, money, you guys are not paying, or the department is not paying. So that's the delay on it, and the delegations. You've cut the delegations. It doesn't matter what they want to buy. It's like you also said, I cannot appoint someone that must assist in mixing dugout. Locally where the project is, why can't that construction unit give them a budget, they've budgeted for it, they've tendered for the project? Lastly, I just want to mention that if TCTA has been appointed to do, to get funding, You cannot utilize them alone to do the construction. Because when they borrow the money, they must give 3 or 4 tenders to show that there is, what is the pricing. So then the construction unit will have to, and that's a good thing, constructions will have to tender for it, and they must measure themselves against other tenderers. Maybe they won't get this tender A, and maybe tender B they will get. So that's not that difficult. That's not that easy just to merge this. It's going to create one big mess for for Treasury with guarantees and TCTA to borrow money.
Mr. Mguni, noted, Mahwa.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning, Minister, ladies and gentlemen, colleagues. Yeah, looking at how this unit, construction unit, has been structured, it looks like it's well-resourced. It's well-resourced. It has got all the ingredients that is, but maybe it was not well-used. If you can tell me, from the recommendations, which you say you have to collapse the WTE, the TCTA, and the construction unit, what informs that? What informs that? Based on individual service delivery, individual performance. If you can tell us, because it might be that there's copying of the job. That's what I wanted to you know, when you're explaining Sizandil, you indicated that there are employees in the construction unit that are over 65 years. What is the average age there? Because it looks like it's an old construction that was established long time ago. So you may find that you are dealing with pensioners, people who are supposed to be long gone, and there's no construction unit at all. You understand? It might happen in that way. What are the average age that is here? I'm also perplexed by one thing. You say you are educating people. There are students that you have educated who end up being taken by other entities outside the department. I have what flu. Please bear with me. What contract? Don't you have a line in the contract which indicates when we have been given a bazaar by the department or educated by the department, you have to come here and service that particular period so that we can have more people coming into the most of the departments to them. Let me end up there. I feel. Thank you very
much.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just wanted to understand more from this 3135. I think this is the number, the total number of employees or people in construction unit. I heard the 1818 that the DG is the one who has the mandate of appointing those people according to the Public Service Act of 1994, number 103. She even mentioned the DG is the one who must come out with the conditions on how to determine time to time on how these people are contracted. Since in the department we're having these 3,135 people, of which to me are not utilized on a daily basis, because it's like they are sitting there but not on site, which means they are not doing their work every day since we are not having a project that are running, meaning that if the department doesn't have project running for the period of 3 or 4 years, those people will be sitting there but getting paid. And you said it's the duty of the DG to revisit that. Why is the department or the DG on behalf of the department not reducing that number, if not getting rid of that number? because, like in your presentation, you were mentioning that for 3 years now, it's like you do have a project maybe for a shorter period because of financial constraints, those people end up just sitting there. So why is he not coming up with something to say, maybe after a financial year, they review that contract? Maybe that one can lead into reducing that number from 3,135 to make it small. Maybe it will assist also the department to be able to have or to pay people who are being utilized, unlike paying people just seated there for some time. I've seen also your recommendation, but to me, it doesn't talk. I think Honorable Basson did elaborate on that, but the issue of reducing or getting rid of that is not there. And I don't think it's good at all for having people who are just sitting, and we know as a department that these people are just hanging up there, there's nothing that they're doing. Because we can't say you can plan that you'll be having a project, but if a national treasurer doesn't give you money, what are they going to do? At the end of the day, it's a fruitless expenditure. Why are we planning on top of that? We know that this will end up as fruitless expenditure, but year in, year out, we're planning on around that without taking a drastic decision to say, no, why can't we reduce this number, or why can't we get rid of this? Thanks, Chairperson.
My apologies, I have been doing in and out, just consulting with the chief whip on one or two things. Chair, mine is not going to come as a question, Chair. It will be a comment, Chair. One that having received now, for the first time, a presentation on construction unit, Chair. And we now somehow understand where and how is it located all over the country. This chair is informed by, not long ago, the recent strike of workers in the Department of Water and Sanitation. They were calling for revival and the usage of construction units. I think that came public quite very strong. But my point, Chair, goes deeper to the capacity of the unit. What is this capacity of this unit? What this unit can do, what this unit cannot do. When I talk capacity of the unit, Chair, I want to understand what is this animal. I see here generally that the acting DG has just given us a frame of how it is structured and all of that. You may want to go deeper to understand each capacity per unit. If you are to deal with the as it is divided per province, north, northwest, what, you look at each capacity and all of that. It's very important for us to have that particular understanding. We're trying to, you know, just unbundle it, open it up. What is this thing? What is this animal? Now, you then have a unit responsible for infrastructure, manufacturing, and all of that, of pipes and all of that. So the thing you're dealing with is not just a small thing that will require two or three questions to go away. And I want to agree with the minister that the minister has now decided that let me just pay attention just to look at this animal and what this animal can do. But it goes back to the department and its planning, Chair, that the contest between the department and the construction unit. Now, the department itself, even not even the construction unit, we have decided to go, you have decided, not we, because I'm not part of the department, you have decided to go out on major project outside on the public tender process. A lot of big projects. I mean, I was just going through the quietly, that has been distributed to members, the report of the SIU, and what is it that they're investigating. This is a major project that the department has decided to go out on public tender. And you then look at what has been allocated to the construction unit of the department. It's just minimum work that has been given to the construction unit. And all what has happened, Minister, of the public tender, everything that has gone out is being investigated for regular appointments, your ministerial instructions and all of that. All of that is under investigation, all of it. And which is, in fact, amounts to billions and billions of rands. But if you have soberly have looked at your capacity within the department under this construction unit and then say, because don't use the issue of transformation now. I understand that definitely you are for transformation, but you don't use it on the basis of destroying something that is very good. The machinery, everything is lying there, it's rusting there. You know, Caterpillar Minister, if you leave it there, or front loader, you leave it there for a year without using it. That thing just loses its hydraulic power. It loses hydraulic power. It collapses, then we'll never use it again. Now, I'm saying that with the machinery and the capacity of this contract, you mean, your department then decided to go the route of all of these other things and go tendering and all of that. We need to look at that, Minister, seriously. We need to look at this thing not only in line with South Africa, but on the issue of our infrastructure. Because I see here in your presentation is that, you know, there's a slide that deals with some of the interventions, you know, emergency process that this unit can be utilized for. But is the whole question of water security in the country. And water security goes into water infrastructure. I've not been much to the Lesotho Highlands. I've seen it once when I was in Lesotho. But when I look at the security of that particular dam, of Kese Dam, and compared to what you find in the country, here inside, inland, in South Africa, not even a single dam that is under Israel security, I will put it like that. But we need to really go deeper into this unit. There's a college, I think it's run by the department, you may want to clarify that part, TDG, of this college, which is where you develop and nurture your skills. And then these people that then get trained there, they get absorbed, they get stolen, or, you know, poached by other private companies and all of that. It goes back to the point that the Honorable Ngunu was raising, in fact, yesterday. What other commitments that you put as you train them? What is the community service there? But they will always go away because there's no money in the department that will keep them there. Because under your construction unit, which is the unit that must absorb them, you are not giving them responsibility. There's no job that goes to them. They're not working there, to be very honest with you. You know? So maybe as you really look into this whole thing, Minister, it will be really very much important that we sort of deal with the capacity, that's where we must start first, of this animal. How many engineers do we have inside there? What are the qualifications? How many plumbers do we have there? How many, all of that skills that we have in the department. If you have 3,000 people, they're not just laborers, I'll take it like that, that each person will have a particular skill. What are the skills that we have there? You know, that's an exercise that we must do. That is what Parliament must be told at some point, that so that when we legislate and allocate the resources, because even in the APP of the department, there's nothing that goes to the construction unit. Projects are identified. In the next 2-3 years, we may not even have a project because of the budgetary constraint in the department. You may want to resuscitate the construction unit, but that unit may not work because there's no money. Come next year again, the allocation that is going to deal with is going to be servicing a debt that the department is sitting on. Maybe when you ignite this construction, I'm not trying to give you the bigger picture of what we must focus on. Maybe when you ignite it now that you know the capacity of this construction, because I think all of us don't dispute the fact that it has that capacity that can do anything. Maybe when you ignite it, you may want to turn that into a business model, Minister, where this unit becomes a unit that is a company under the Department of Water that can go even outside the Republic. Outside the Republic can do business there. I mean, in the, I mean, Honorable Basson will agree with me that
in earlier when we were dealing with the issues of Glen Williams, which I don't want to deal with it now, we'll deal with it later. We were informed that they went on site. They've already established a site. Right? Of course, you know, for you to establish a site, it's not just a matter of people going there and have some zozos and cuckoos outside. They move with their equipment, they send all of these things that they're going to utilize. It tells you that this unit means that you can send it to the DRC and go and construct the dam there. You can send it to Mozambique. You can go anywhere in the world. But it's just the manner in which I think we are packaging it ourselves, you know, without really knowing much of the detail, but it must be an exercise, Chair, through you again, that we may want to further engage around this issue. Having had the minister maybe, you know, engaging on this thing, getting the full detail. As a committee at some point, there's a need that we may want, Chair, to go into those provinces where these units are located of this construction. And look, especially the one that you have just spoken about, VDD Mate, of the somewhere in the middle of Karoo, the fleet management and manufacturing. It's very, you may want to do that as a committee. Even as health minister, you may want to take time just to run around, check around the country. What is this whole thing? Because I see something that there's so much capacity. As long as we commit ourselves at some point that we are going to give more support and more resources to this unit and ignite it as a company that will do constructions of our dams in the country and leave this other area that is putting us into so much problems, this tendering problem, because I'm not in favor of that with the levels of issues of corruption that are happening there. So, you know, this is my, just my general comment, having really interacted with this thing. The national development plan of the country, where do you locate our infrastructure? When we talk of infrastructure, much of the issues that are raised in the national development plan and the water infrastructure becomes critical. So how do you locate the role and functions of this department and utilizing the construction to respond to the national development plan of the country? How do you locate that? Because you're not going to locate your national development plan on private entities, private companies, that you're going to rely on private companies to put a pipe from here to Mshaduzi, from here to Valhamahara pipe. You're going to rely on the capacity that you have generated, internal capacity that you have generated. So for me, those are just my comments. I've been, you know, we've been so much that we'll have this opportunity. The issue of it was established in 1930. It does not therefore mean that everybody was appointed in 1930. Therefore, yes, it's a fact that the issue of transformation was then coming. But what are you going to transform? What are you transforming? Which sectors in that construction that you want to target? Yes, management may be white, but what skills are those management having there? Do you have that black skill that you want to match with the white skill? You know, if not, then how do we put in place a plan that makes sure that we understand what is our link with universities that produce skills in the country? How do we bring universities in line with what we want to achieve, the strategic objective of the construction unit, which is the baby of the department, by the way. It's a company of the department. You know, you have your TCDA, you have all of these other things that deals with bulk infrastructure. They're not linked, Minister. You may want to begin to look at how do we bring together all these fragmented pieces of, you know, a responsibility to the department into one something big. You know, either you run it in the model of a business, it will be more easier than to run it as a passerby, you know, who may decide today we're giving you 11 million rand and not in whatever area. And these are smaller projects, you know, go and fix a pipe there, go and do that. But the capacities of someone that can build a dam, but you're giving them a responsibility to go and fix a valve, you know. But this person has the capacity to build a dam. I mean, definitely people will go away, you know. So my point, you know, Minister, is that if these are things that openly and honestly we can really look at, it will definitely alleviate a lot of these problems that this department is going through. So it's a huge task, but I think this presentation is sort of beginning to give us some kind of an understanding now. But we are not dealing with a small thing here. Anything that can construct the dam, you must know that is high level. So therefore, how do we make that high level? How do we make it to drive the agenda of water security in the country? I mean, I hear that the DG has gone to Brazil. There's a conference of water, I think it's in Brazil, I think, something like that. You know, the point is,
The point is, he's a planning minister. This department does not have a water plan. We don't have. We operate just wake up in the morning. Like today, if you have been planned, oh, we're going to Lipello, he drive. Tomorrow we're going to Makhadis. I want a water plan. There's no water plan. That water plan grounds you. The water plan tells you that this is the infrastructure that we have. In the next 8 years, this infrastructure will require the following. This is what we want. Technology. Kombe Chair always says it, that do more with less. Why are you putting it, Chair? Technology. New technology that we must employ in the department. I'm not being a minister currently, but I'm not saying it because I'm complaining. I'm saying it because it's part of my farewell to a portfolio committee, by the way, that I may not be in a committee next week because I'm not going to deal with other responsibilities somewhere. But these are things that, you know, when I'm sitting here, that will not be in all these problems that we had ourselves. If all of us have a particular vision and a proper plan in place, that water plan we've been calling for, it is not coming. When we meet with the water policy, they tell you that we are busy with the water plan. But I want a direction. There's no direction. You know, so I'm saying that let us ignite ourselves to the level that we deal with the issue of water security. The issue that are dealing with in Brazil is that the whole world, in fact, there's a problem with the issue of water. And the team here, we're not serious about it. It's not even a security matter issue, Chair, in South Africa. It's not a security issue. Workers, they go to strike, they go and contaminate that water there, put some paraffin, whatever. It's normal, it's fine. People go, oh, we can't drink water because there's paraffin in the water. It's normal. The whole issue of, you know, if we declare the issue of water infrastructure minister a national key point. Because in the next 30, 40 years, I'm telling you, you see it in the Western Cape. There's no water today. Okay, man. And gradually this thing is sort of, it has been showing its face, this drought left and right. In the near future, Chair, we may end up with a situation where the Lesotho delegation was here the other day. You saw them. They were here. They said, we have our water, we're not benefiting from our water, and we are going to apply to our High Court to stop this water that comes to South Africa until such time that we benefit. They were here. They were sitting in that corner there. They came to greet the minister. But I'm saying that people are now beginning to wake up around the issues of water, and we need ourselves to make sure that the issue of water security becomes key. That debate is still on in the House, Chair, as I look in my name. It's still going to come in my name when we come back from Brussels to debate the issue of ownership of water and the right to have water. So on that note, Minister, thank you very much. But I think this report really began to give us some kind of a light and maybe a commitment of wanting to put your foot and to have a full understanding of this thing. And I believe you'll be able to ignite it properly. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks for that. We're giving Mr. Chauke more airtime. He has just exposed himself that he's about to leave this committee, Mr. Bazon. I thought until it is on ATC that matters of that nature are attended to properly. Obviously, there is a definite interest in this unit. maybe just in passing, you know, it has been coming through for quite some time, the overdraft that has always been punted. You know, mentioning always has been made about Reserve Bank. Maybe that is a matter that we just need to respond to in the coming week as part of that package. Is it National Treasury or is it Reserve Bank? If you can bring us that documentation, that would be appreciated so that we clear up that once and for all. Because as far as I'm concerned, Reserve Bank deals only with banks. Insofar as matters of this nature are concerned, overdraft and borrowing, they are your first lender, or rather last lender of your specific banks, and also regulating monies that go and come out of the country. Typically, Reserve Bank works along those lines, from my layman's point of understanding of what the role of a Reserve Bank, whether it can or does, you know, offer any recall this overdraft for any institution, I'm not sure. Maybe if that information in writing can be brought to the committee next week so that we get to, you know, satisfy ourselves once and for all. I'm curious to understand, I hear you talking about those that procure pens are the same or would have been the same as those that procure pipelines or pipes rather. How long has this been taking place? Whether is that still the case as we speak now? What is the budget of the unit as we speak, 2017-2018 and also 2018-2019? Granted, you are still to come before us on that budget for the department, but more specifically, projected for this 2018-2019, what is the budget for the unit itself? The reasoning for asking repeatedly this question as to the role of a water board juxtaposed with that of a construction unit, it is now becoming clearer by the day that what was expected of a construction unit from what you gave us, all of those core competence areas, what is becoming very clearer is that it is not happening. Hence now the outsourcing. I would imagine what you currently are painting to us is a picture that is quite gloomy for the unit. But this is something that has been coming for quite some time. That today you are dealing with transformation issues, it's not anything new. It has been coming for quite some time. I would imagine the next question that comes by here should be, what did you do? Given the competence areas expected of a unit as important as this one, you were anticipating that your white males that are, you know, in the department, as you say, floor number 6, you know, all, you know, white males, as you say, but it is not starting now. What did we do as a department to really begin to say, we now must have a vision for this unit? Come 10-year time, we need to get this unit in this direction. The interest is not so much about what is going to happen in future. And that future for me, where you bring all of this together, easily can be no less than 5 years or 10 years, if you like. But in the meantime, what is happening in the unit itself? You have your staff members that are there. You have your members of your staff that is at Clenwood and Dam, and also other staff members. That today you do not have money to implement on any specific project. After all, I must say, Minister, when we engaged with the department last year beginning, issues of accruals came quite sharp to a point where our major interest, rather, was more about the fact that, and we are vindicated, I must say, that we were saying that the department is not going to have money to implement on these new projects. Precisely because the monies that they do have are monies that are going to be spent towards paying of those service providers that were expected to be paid in the past financial year, that is 2016-2017. So that is the situation that we are confronted with as we speak now. Going forward, whether you do have that money, and clearly it has been spelled out that there is no such money, hence the department, or rather the unit, is finding itself in a situation which it is. Thanks.
Thank you, Minister. I'm going to start with the issue of collapsing TCTA, National Water Resource Infrastructure Plant, and WTE, that it was stopped by National Treasury. It is not true, Honorable Person. It started in 2005, and there is a cabinet decision that this must happen. And then it was stopped when there was the agreement in Polokwane for the review of SOEs. That process was stopped. And it was also stopped by a NEDLAC process where Labour argued that they were not properly consulted. And whilst we were stopped by Labour, and there was already a bill that was going through to Parliament, whilst there was that process, and then there was then Polokwane, then we stopped everything. Everything grinded to a halt. It was later revived by Minister Malewa in 2014, emanating from the NDP. It is not just our dream. It is coming from the NDP. Chapter 4 of the NDP is saying that for this country to be able to deal with the issues of water security, this sort of agency must be created. I do agree with you that as it is, with all the issues that we are experiencing as a branch as well as construction, it would not be wise to merge with TCTA. But if you look at the latter end of our presentation, we are then saying let's get a group of analysts, because as it is right now, we don't have data, scientific data, and we are all agreeing that the model is not working. The current model is not working, but we also don't have data that says why is it not working. So the team that we are requesting Minister to give to us to say let's get industry experts, because we then have to implement the NDP as it is, unfortunately. But we can't. That's why we are cautious to say we can't just wake up and go there. If you look at those documents, it was clear that this agency will have to be a going concern from day one. And as it is, it's not going to be a going concern, but it is not insurmountable. With experts that can help us to make sure that every risk is being attended to, and we put up a bankable business case that we are working with Treasury on it. It was actually it's actually part of the agreement that our minister signs with the president. From Minister Malewa to Minister Mukonyane, this agency has been in their performance agreement. But we haven't moved that fast. Now the minister has said, let's move in quickly, but we are cautious that we have to manage the risk. It's going to be very, very risky. But Treasury is also working with us on that one. So as it is, the NDP is saying collapse them into one. The TCTA, because TCTA is just like at Eskom, it is a business unit that works, that does treasure. That's their job. It's just treasure to borrow money, that's all. But the core business of Eskom, what Eskom does is it is developing and sweating electricity assets. That is exactly what NWR will do. We will develop and sweat water infrastructure assets, and we'll have TCTA as our treasury arm. But as I said, that we have to manage the risk. It is quite risky at the moment. But if we get this team and the industry expert, we will come back perhaps to the committee with data, scientific data that says, if you do this, this is what is going to happen. This is how we're going to mitigate that risk. And then the issue of people, I agree with you on all the things you've said about our performance. I'm going to say the department, because I'm wearing the department's head, but I'm not wearing NWR's head today, but it's what I've been asking for. It's the challenges. It's what keeps me awake at night to see the people that want to work. People want to make progress on site, but our hands are tied. Our hands have been very tied. And if you remember when I started my presentation, I said our problems are systemic. We're not going to wake up and say this is a problem. You just have to overhaul the whole system, as the minister is suggesting. Hence the issue of saying, you go and look at Eskom, even water boards. You go to water boards, the people that are managing procurement of infrastructure, it's a quantity surveyor, it's a cost engineer. With us, it's sometimes somebody with a diploma in administration. And we have to deal with those things. It has been very, very, very painful to say. So I do agree with you, but at least Minister is now saying, let's start the process. Let's see what we can do. And indeed, we experienced a lot of losses just by standing time, escalation, price escalation, because we projects are not moving fast enough. But as I also indicated, it is also not we're not hunky-dory on our side. We also have our own management issues as construction that we must deal with. So, but at least we are trying to move forward. Minister is leading that direction. We did have people who were above 65 years. Well, as part of the cost cutting measures, I gave instruction to the team that those are our quick wins. Let's arrest those ones at home. Some of them are even 78, 79 years old. We said, no. How many were there? About six, how many?
25.
There were 25. Their last day will be end of March. So we're not going to have any 65-year-old. We've negotiated those ones out. And I do agree with Mahabane with the issue of why haven't we laid those people down. Yeah, we proposed that, but it is also not an easy decision where the country is shedding jobs every day, and then you wake up and you retrench about 1,000. We had to find a way of saying, are we, again, if you have to do that, you have to think, are you really discarding this whole big animal, which is construction, that is adding so much value? So we had not given up, but we did request to top management that, if need be, we may have to cut some of the jobs. But the then DG then said, no, let us not retrench anyone. Let us see what we can do with the current budget. I must say the presentation is indicating 16-17 budget, financial year budget, which was 1.2. The current financial year budget is worse than last year, 741 million. So if you look at the fact that 4 years ago we were close to a 2 billion and today we are even less than a billion, now you will see where our biggest challenges are coming from. The contracts with bursary holders, there is always a clause of buying those people out. Then companies are very prepared to buy you out. They pay the money that you pay for that student and they take them away. Unfortunately, we do have that clause, but they buy us out on it. The capacity of a construction unit, I do agree, I concur. It is very strong in civil, as I mentioned, very weak in mechanical, electrical. Since the beginning of time, they have outsourced mechanical and electrical. They are very strong in civil. Mechanical and electrical, we are thinking that perhaps it's time. We have a few guys that are coming in that are coming in with mechanical and electrical skills. They are still not confident. In some instances, I've tried to give them that work, and they're saying, no, ma'am, it's too risky. We can't take over the site. Because for them to be able to take over the site again, there must be GCCs. Government certified engineers. We don't have any government certified engineer, so they, at the moment, they can't own any mechanical and electrical site because they are not GCCs. Why is work not being given to construction? I think it was a political decision that was taken at that particular time that let's not give a construction work. We had to deal with it. We had to wake up and work and try and find a way of running the department with that decision. Rotherblatt and the Learning Academy, we have two academies. We've got the Learning Academy, which is situated in the department. It's just a coordinating arm because the training, it's on-the-job training. We place them in all these business units. By the way, construction is but one of the business units of NWIR. We have got six business units. So construction is just the contractor. They've got other colleagues. So NWIR has the Learning Academy, which is giving is preparing the candidate engineers for them to be able to pass their SAISI examination, and then you've got Rotherblatt. Rotherblatt is more on artisans. They train artisans and they prepare them for trade tests. So we do have that those particular skills development units. They are, to a certain extent, giving us what we need, but as I said, that it's very difficult to keep people. The vision, the transformation vision of construction, we actually tabled it in 2008. I think the committee, when looking at us, we are not trying to say we are also perfect, but it is known and it has been researched that organizations that do not have stability in leadership, they eventually affects our performance. If you look at the number of DGs that we have had over the past 10 years, and you have these ideas, the way tabled, once there is a DG that you are trying to, in most cases, again, I don't remember any of the DGs except for Mike Muller, who came in as a water expert, even understanding what's happening in the water sector. They are all coming in from other areas. So now the first year, which in most cases, because on average they were staying for about a year, for the first year we are trying to teach this person what is a water business, how it works. So we're not saying that we are perfect, but that affected the organization a lot. That affected the organization a lot. And that's what we need to deal with as a country and as a committee. I'm sorry, I'm becoming very emotional because some of us are enduring the pain because we're thinking about what if we live here, who is going to get this, where are we going to get this 18 years of the experience that we've had in the sector. So that is what has affected us a lot as an organization. And it's not that it's perfect. It's wrong. There are a lot of things that we haven't done right, but we have to fix them. And we've got a minister that is saying, let's fix it. And I had a discussion with him and I was saying, I'm very excited because, Minister, I have actually even written a paper to say the problems of water are not what you see. These are the symptoms. The problems of water are systemic. The problems of water are the model that we are using to deliver water infrastructure across the value chain. Those are the problems. And if they are not fixed, we will forever be coming here, be based all the time because we are not fixing the sources of our problems, which is systemic. Thank you.
I thought you would say when you were mentioning the fact that the decision to outsource was a political one, so that we have one discussion and conclude on it by substantiating by way of an indication, because what we really, I think this is a trend that we're taking as this committee, believing in what we see. In other words, there was a written such an instruction. We would want to have sight to that. That said, stop getting work on a construction unit. We would really wish to have that written in black and white instruction, if you like. Okay, Mr. Chage, noted, Mr. Mguni Pasa.
No. Just wanted to come in immediately on the point that is made by DDG, which I agree with the fact that instability that you find in the department because of changes of DG that comes a year and go away. But the issue of yours, DDG, is that if we don't have a solid foundation, a clear plan of where we're going as a department, every DG will just come and create his own dreams there. Because the department is not founded on any foundation that is solid on it. Where we are sitting now here, we rely on what we get from water boards, what you get from the department. APP will come, present the APP, it does not get fully implemented, that APP, then it's fine. But even before your time, maybe in the department, I want a foundation there. There's nothing that if you were to articulate and say, tell us about Department of Water and Sanitation, I can't tell you anything, except that there are water boards, there are these committees that supply. You know, there's nothing that we can hold on. Hence, the water plan becomes very critical. Because that becomes your foundation of the vision, where is this department? The objective of the, what is it that we are set to achieve as the Department of Water? So DGs can come and go, but we are solid on the foundation, you know. So at that point, I agree with you really fully, because anyone that comes there, they bring their own ideas. Anyone that comes there brings his own idea. He comes there for 6 months, and then now I want this thing to change. Minister, I think we did make mention. 72, is the directors. What is that? Chief directors. It's madness. It's really madness, right? Now, what you need is, because it's clear that the committee has been going through the issue, the organogramme department. You know, Minister, it was like we could smell that there's going to be a change in the leadership at some point. We are only stuck at the level of dealing with the office of the minister. Today, the minister chair that we did have a report around what constitutes the office of the political office, right? But generally, if you are to scale down, it's a mess. But that mess, you're not going to be able to address it now unless such time that you are clear that this is what we want to achieve. This is our objective as a department, and this is the plan that we have put in place. Therefore, the kind of a skill and a capacity that we need is the following. So you have to go back to Department of Public Administration. At some point, you're going to do that, to really renegotiate the organogram of this department, informed by a very clear objective of what is meant to do this department. Once you've done that, then you are saying, because you're not going to touch this thing, you can't come and dismiss them. You'll have to try and patch them there, patch them this one there, until such time that you negotiate a proper structure of the department. But generally, Chair, I think the issue that you are pinning down, Chair, this move from using the construction unit in the name of lack of transformation to public tender, it has been a problem. I think we must acknowledge it, DDG, that it has been a problem. And I've been saying it not today, but many times. And it's not of your making. Now that is because you are heading the infrastructure unit, therefore the blame must come to you. No, it's not of your making. It's the point that the chair is making now, that there has been a political decision that was taken that don't use the what's called construction unit, go out on tender. That is very important, in fact, at this point, moving forward. You know that the committee is currently preparing its inquiry, and part of what the chair is raising to request these following documents is very important. These documents then form part of what we're going to be dealing with when we go to inquiry that we're going to engage on. So there must be a very good document that the chair has called for, the issue of the what's called reserve bank, that information must be forwarded. The issue of this instruction in particular, and any other instructions. In fact, most of those instructions that were given outside what we have agreed as Parliament, the PFMA, I mean the APP of the department, because APP is a partnership between the committee, Parliament, and the department, that these are things that we are going to what's called to implement. Hence the budget comes in. We pass the budget is informed by that APP, Parliament. We, as the committee of Parliament, pass that budget. So there's nothing that you do with that budget other than what you have agreed upon, unless you come back to the committee and say, we have now decided to divert the following money, which, because at the end of the day, you need to account for that. And those are the instructions that were given. In your APP, under your program, there are things that you said you're going to achieve and you're going to do them. But you have not achieved those things because part of the money that was meant for you to achieve those things kept diverted with the instructions. And we must now be running out after the instructions that were given outside your mandate, outside your responsibility as a construction unit that is responsible. When I say construction unit, I mean infrastructure in general. You know, so it's very important, Chair, that we must ground, we must understand, relook at the mandate of this department, and this then form part of the new mandate that minister will have to look at. We don't have much time, by the way, from now until the elections. You're dealing with a period of less than 8 months. Less than 8 months, in fact.
that you must be able, by the time that this term of parliament ends, you will have almost delivered some kind of a legacy in yourself that, you know, in the 16 months that I've been there, I was able, in fact, to pin down the department and create the following. That is what is important now. Because come the next parliament, they're going to get the very same confusion and it will not end, Minister. Same as you raised this point, DVG Zandile, about the issue of director generals and all of that. It's not going to end on your side. Parliament level, the very same report, same issues that we're dealing with, the next parliament is going to be constituted. They're going to be more confused. You may find again that this experience that we have here is again gone. You've got new people. So, down the line, you're now going to have the ESCOM problem. Load shedding. But this time around, it's going to be what? Water. And once you start to do water shedding, I mean, you can see it now in the Western Cape and many other parts of the country, and we're getting to get there. As long as we don't come up with a plan now, in fact, Minister, what you must do with the water plan, we're calling for this thing is not coming. You will have to find a way of igniting other some universities. I know, for example, that the Nadwas University is very much involved on issues of water. You may begin to want to look at the capacity that we have in some of the universities, package it together, have a team that can really work out a plan so that by the time the term ends, we have some kind of a water plan for the country. That's one thing that we don't have now. You know, infrastructure, we are there to implement infrastructure, but I want a plan. We are just working there, you know, to budget the means are good. But that department does not have a plan. We are a DVG responsible for that. What is expected of you? Because if they say refurbishment of infrastructure, there must be a plan. By now we have done an audit, knowing the kind of intervention that is required with infrastructure. What is that audit? We must have it in black and white. All the pipelines, you must be able to know now that a pipeline that moves from this point to that point is by this time is going to be an old pipe. We need to prepare for it to renovate that pipe or put up. You know, all of those things are things that we must really put. Then we can press it, any button, the infrastructure. What are we looking at? A network of infrastructure in the country. Some of the infrastructure is privately owned. Water. If you go to the Atlantic Zop area, there's some small water board there. It controls its own infrastructure. It supplies water. It's not accountable. I'm not sure that the DDG is responsible for water boards. You know about it. That small one that Dikoko is the chairman of, that has about 2-3 members. It has an infrastructure of almost R1 billion. And in its account, they sit with about 400 million. They deal with water. It's only 3 people that are running it. They have their own infrastructure. There may be many of them that are doing that. People that control water. But the water plan, if it's not coming, this thing is just going to continue forever. People are just going to have water for free, those who are having water for free. There are many of them, especially farmers, who are tapping into a water resource without paying. They are doing that.
Thank you. As for Mr. your hand, Mr.
Thank you. I think Mr. Chauke, Honorable Church has just said a mouthful. But I must also indicate that, you know, Maria Majo indicated that there, some of the things were done under the political decision, which the chairperson said, please, if you can provide us with. Well, some of the things, even the committee, most of the things, we wouldn't find it in the committee. Most of the things we find through media, we find when they are questioning it through other portfolio committee like Evoscopa. Then we find, oh, the department said 1, 2, 3 to us, and here it says something, and then we come back. So some of the information we did not know. And now, at least we have got a new minister. And Msaadu is known, new minister. Talk to him, advise him correctly. The problem sometimes, the advice that I get from the senior manager, maybe sometimes may make him to do things the other way than doing the right way. You indicated issues of stability. You spoke about the issue of value. When we came here in 2014, I think it's three or four teachers that have been changed. Instability, the department, hey, it's very much chaotic. You ask this one, well, one will tell you something, and then it becomes a problem. Maraga, the issue of a construction unit, Chairperson, you will remember that we did not know about the construction up until, I think, 2015 or 16. It's us here in this committee who said, There's this animal called construction unit, and you all laughed. You all laughed and looked back because you wanted to hide this construction unit. We did not know anything about this construction unit, and one paper did get a hold of it for the construction unit. So no, even in the APP, there was nothing like such until now. Now that was dealing with it. But looking at it, Minister, we will see within high man. These people, not that they are failing to do their job. These people, regardless whether they are contracted, but if they are given work, than taking work given to water ports, like this, Bobodi Pele, they are doing what by LET, as you are saying, these people will have done much better and in time and on deadlines. But the way you are doing things in the department, it looks like you are owning this department. It's yours, this department. It's no longer for the entire people and government. With the issue of water plan, I think Mr. Honorable Chauke has said it. But if you can fast track that, I don't know what's the problem, Minister. I mean, I don't know, because every water port has got its own plan. A municipality has got its water plan. What takes so long that you ask a municipality, give me your water plan. They give the water plans combined with the water port. Water port, give me your water plan. They bring it here. From those water plans from different entities, we'll make a water plan. You beef it up as a department. What is it that takes long? Did you bring a water plan here? If it takes 6 months, it took almost a year for you to give us just a framework of a water plan. And even it was even silent. That framework was even silent. Because you know when you say water plan, you tell us exactly. This water pipe from Barberton to Johannesburg was built in 30 years. It needs to be refurbished or whatever in this water. It may cost this amount of water. And it's a plan. You tell us the plan. A plan. Where are you going from here, from Cape Town to Johannesburg? That's a plan, you see. But you don't tell us. You don't tell us anything. You just give us this structure that is quiet and is not talking to us. I still believe, Chairperson, you know, if that water, that unit can be given work, if that water unit, that construction unit can be given work, I can see wonders. We can see wonders. Now everything has been taken to water, Minister, an emergency. Everything is on emergency. Everything now is on emergency. Something that takes 5 years is an emergency. That takes 10 years is an emergency. Are we not the way we look at you, department? You understand? Is it not the way one? Because emergency plan, it does not need you to go the normal way. You understand? You are given 500 million, at the end of the day it becomes 1 billion. Then you understand? Every time when the auditor comes, money has been fruitlessly spent. And there was wasteful expenditure. Why can't we use this unit, which is our unit, that we can take responsibility of? Chairperson, thank you very much.
Mr. Pazan?
Chairperson, anywhere in the world, if you want to steal money, you must create chaos. Exactly what my colleague has said now. If you want to steal money, create the emergency. Because that emergency becomes another animal, if we look at Giani. So, Chairperson, the Minister must really look at what the acting DG said. You cannot have a DG that is in control of water, and we say water is life. It's 57 million people that this department deals with. It's not like SASA, 17 million people. It's 57 million. Whether you're rich, poor, black, white, doesn't matter. We all use water. We've got industry, we've got agriculture to use water. You cannot appoint someone that's a municipal manager and make him the head of the department, and then the people that sits below him has got more knowledge than the DG's got. If you don't understand water, and Chairperson, we've learned this in this committee. If you don't understand water, you will not move forward. It's
it's not like you move into one shop where they sell furniture and I'm going now to a place that sells shoes. It's not the same. It's a complex business. You've got all these entities. You've got the water boards. It's a huge, huge department with a very small budget. You've got to do what the chairperson says, much more with less money. So chairperson, most of the stuff that I wanted to say, both my colleagues have already talked about. Thank you, Chair.
Any issues, Mr. Fisher? Mr. Hugo? Mr. Gallo? Covered. Maybe just one quick one from where I'm seated. The cost of what's the word to use? Building of any plant by the construction unit and your implementing agent, obviously outsourcing that. What are the costs between the two in terms of putting up any such plant? A typical example, for instance, you're talking here about maybe that should just be one illustrative point. Clan William Dam. you shall have costed that raising of the wall, where you shall have had your construction unit putting it up, which was stopped, and expected to have been outsourced. Now, what could have been the cost and what was availed for that implementing agent who shall have been expected to put up that that wall? I'm very keen and curious on that one.
Thanks, Chair. Ken Lem would not be a good example because we were not going to use an implementing agent. We were going to outsource directly as a department from the contractor database that was created, which was later held by the AG that it was irregular, the whole thing of outsourcing for dams, and we have since stopped using it. But in case where you have to engage and implement...
Can you just repeat this last part?
Yes, the database for contractors, AG, has given a finding that it is irregular. As a result, we are therefore not allowed to continue using it. We can continue using the one for engineers, but we can't use the one for contractors.
But let's talk about the cost.
It was AG.
It was a political decision, but what was the cost? Let's just focus on the cost.
Yeah. So I'm saying, because Glenn William, we're not going to use an implementing agent, but if you are going to use an implementing agent, the difference between using directly construction is that you don't pay 5%. If you are using an implementing agent, if the project is 100 million, 5% of that 100 million is admin cost that you give to the implementing agent just for doing the job. We've done an analysis and we're looking, but we are losing a lot of money. We have seen also it has created some dependency of some sort from water boards, wherein they look at this implementing agent fee as part of their budget. But on the other side, it is affecting our performance as well as the challenges that we are facing with the budget cuts. We can no longer afford to pay that 5%. It has since been stopped. We will not be depending on the minister, maybe you would want to continue issuing directives to implementing agents. Let me say we will not be, because it is not our prerogative, it is the minister's prerogative, but it goes with a 5% Yeah, admin fee. Or on the
east. Are those the only costs?
Yes, 5%, yeah.
And on the side of the service provider?
No, no.
Billing into...
No, if the service provider, if it's an engineer, it will be an extra rate. If it's a contractor, it is the normal construction rate.
Yeah, talk about those rates.
The rates, Chair, are regulated by EXA, and I don't have them off my...
The rates are anything between 15% and 20% of the total value of the cost of the project.
No. Oh, okay.
Talk about those
are not the rates, Chairperson.
What are those? Those are the rates that your consulting engineers charge.
It's fees.
Fees,
we
that's what
them,
I'm looking for.
Call them,
those are fees. Talk about those. These are all costs. That's a fundamental point we're talking about.
Okay.
What are the costs associated with a project that is now, on one hand, a construction unit is going to be involved in the project. On the other hand, you're having an implementing agent.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the costs.
The cost when you're involving an implementing agent, it is 5% management fee just handling that particular contract. Then the implementing agent will then get a design team, which is engineers. That design team, that is regulated. It can't be more than 10%. It depends on the size of the project. But there's not a threshold. Sliding scale. It's a sliding scale too. The bigger the contract, the less are the fees for the design team. The design team would do your design and supervision right up to commissioning. There would also be, you have to have your ECO, your environmental officer. That is outside. The environmental officer will be less than 1%, but that is also regulated. And then you have your safety officer. That is those fees are also regulated. You have your resident engineer or your APPs. In case of dams, APPs are charged separate from the design team. That is also regulated by EXA. So they can't exceed the costs that are regulated. But why it becomes expensive to use an implementing agent is that if the project is 2 billion, 5% of that goes to the implementing agent just as a fee for handling, for doing what could be done internally. And then
10% of that also goes to
project management. There's also a project management fee. It can't be more than 10%. So it's the design team, it's project management, it's your experts. They're all regulated. Others, like the non-core, like your ECO, your health and safety, it's less than 1% of the total project. And then, on the issue of a plan, I do agree with the committee that there is no plan. And yeah, from where I am sitting in my position, I'm always saying I'm navigating blindly because I really do not know where I'm going. Am I really not putting more infrastructure where I'm supposed to be putting less? You just can't tell at the moment. But I just want to correct the issue post-commissioning. If that infrastructure belongs to the department, we do have asset management plans. They were part of the APP. We finished them last 17-18. We are now running, we're putting them in the system. In 2007-08, when I was still in finance, we had a project called Sakile. We did an estimated useful life of each component of our infrastructure. So at least on the resource, on the water, raw water side, the information is available. But of course, raw water is incomplete because you have to do the whole network, the whole value chain, which is outside of NWIR's ambit and the planning unit that is dealing with it. But if you want to know the estimated useful life of valves, of pipes, of all the pipelines, we have that. It's available in the department. We know that's the information we use to say we are raising a flag, we are not operating our infrastructure appropriately because We have not done this and this and this, but we've put it in the system already.
Chairperson?
Ms. Chairperson?
Chairperson, on the question that you've raised on Glen William Dam, if you take out the contingency that construction unit put in their price, which they've tendered for, which ended up at 2.05 million, a billion, if you take that out, then to compare apples with the tenders there was, their price was 1.8 billion, that inclusive. And if you add the 131 million that was already spent on site establishment, add that to the tender price, because the 10 people that tendered would have taken over the site. So it's a cost that was incurred that was included in the construction unit. The cheapest tender was 2.293 billion, nearly 500 million more, and the most expensive one was 3.5 billion for the same project. So if you just look at the cheapest tender that was a JV, we talk about nearly 500 million rand difference in the same project.
I think I need to correct this, Dr. Basol. Construction, what has been also a problem in the department is that because guys are in the same branch, who would give construction designs that are incomplete. When they are nearing an end, we'll give it to them and say, guys, we'll finish, because in any case, there is no issue of a price. We'll finish whilst you're on site, because we are under pressure. So that design was incomplete. So you may not be comparing apples to apples. So it was not ready for construction will get designs that you will not use for an external contractor. So they were not, it was about maybe 90% complete, but we had said we were going to, so it may not be realistically the same.
Chairperson, what would that 10% cost?
That is exactly what we need.
10 million, 20 million?
No, it can be, it can
but
be.
But then we still talk about nearly 500 million difference.
Not really, I would really...
And let us avoid dialogue. I think the issue that we're dealing with here in the main talks more to the costs to be incurred in a scenario wherein you have a construction unit versus outsourcing. That's the essence of what we are about here. Yes, the details are important. Specific project does illustrate all what we are digging into the issue. That's what we are really about. We can make a few other examples. I'm sure other members have got other examples that they can attach to this whole very exercise that we're about. That's what we are about. Clearly, the issue that we've always been talking about with innovation that is getting accolades all over the world, being a South African innovation. The issue that talks to whether or not we're going and continuing with the innovation, with the outsourcing, these are the kinds of issues that we're about. We are about getting to make sure that there's value for our money. We protect as much as we can the state coffers. That's what we're about. The department is talking about having to go through all sorts of constraints in its budget. Granted, it may not necessarily be a department-only issue. Other departments are going through the same vein. Generally, our budget has been on the decline, I guess, with revenue streams for national fiscals has not been performing well. But we would have thought that this, like any crisis situation, whenever it presents itself, an opportunity is equally presented. An opportunity, in this case, to do more with less. We always talk about a need to make again that differentiation between going through a brick and mortar plant, whether it is wastewater or is it a water treatment plant. And juxtaposed with your packaged plants, we always make that example. Wherein for the same amount of megaliters, 50 or somewhere there, you shall have to produce. Whether it would be any difference that you might wish to be, if you can comment on this one as well, you being in the construction or other infrastructure, we would have really taken a keen interest, of course, taking into account a whole range of issues about durability and sustainability of any such project, between that of your brick and mortar and that of a package plant. Because your consulting engineer would find it difficult to venture into a package plant because of the fees that are smaller compared to that of your brick and mortar. If you can compare, comment on that as well. Now, these are the kind of issues that we've really been dealing with for quite some time. And it feels like we are not getting anywhere because the department has made up its mind. This is what we are going to do. You are going to shout and shout loudest in your committee. It's not going to mean anything to us. We are in charge. We are responsible. As if we are going to hear so much from your side quietly stated that you found us here and you're going to leave us here. For us, it's business as usual. Nothing's going to change. You also get a very strong sense that says, you know, some of the officials in the department have so much to benefit out of this whole exercise.
I think the point that you're making, Chair, you will not get an answer until you insist on what we expect, meaning that, Chair, in every project that the department runs, there must be a reason or a case on innovation. The two must go parallel, Chair. That's at the level of accountability now, because if you say in the next financial year, Chair, that we are going to do the following with regard to water infrastructure, which we deal with, Chair, the traditional brick and mortar, we just put it, that's a traditional, the pipes or what. The department must have, or the committee must be given an opportunity or some kind of a presentation that talks of innovation. Because, Chair, if you leave it to the department, it's more like the issue of transformation and empowerment, Chair. These issues, if they're not properly policed, Chair, will raise them, they will not go anywhere. Until such time that we put it to be in the agenda of the committee, meaning that whatever that you come and present on infrastructure or projects that you are running, there must be an element of innovation that you must be able to present. And said, this is the route that we are taking, but with the new innovation, this is what we think it will be cheaper. This is what we are saying. And I think, Chair, that's what we must insist on, Chair. You know, when we deal with the, when we do the next APP, the department will always come with this traditional presentation. But we have to insist on the prompt innovation, Chair, that must come in. That's the only way that you do it. And then what you then do, you then invite PCT, what you call the water, that the water commission thing, what do you call them? The water research commission. You invite them to sit with you as you deal with issues of the next APP. Meaning that as you deal with the plans of the department, they sit there, they then input
because there's so much technological, you know, innovation that has been developed in this country, which we are failing overseas currently, and we are not using it in South Africa. So that's the time that we've done. I'm not saying that we are doing that just to assist certain companies, or, but we are just bringing the issue of innovation to come in. So I think, Chair, rather than wanting this answer, and I'm not going to get it until that we put a condition on ourselves, that in everything that the department will have to deal with on issues of infrastructure, we want to get this particular area fully presented. If they cannot give us, then that project must wait until such time that I know, Chair, that if we do that, it will help you not only with that, with issues of transformation. As we deal with this water, what's called construction unit, what we have raised here, we have raised the issues of fleet, for example, a wide fleet, stationary machines, equipment, but we have not gone, Minister, which what you must look at as a matter of agent, is the register, asset register of this unit. You must get the asset register. This unit. This unit owns, in fact, the properties. Some of the people that work in this unit, they live around, you know, all these big dams that you find in the country. I think the director, DDG, will agree with me that there's so much that is packaged under this construction unit. You may want to have the register of assets under this unit. In detail, not, you know, how they put it here is fine, summary, but just get the full register of assets, register of this unit. You know, because I know for a fact that it is scattered all over the country. People are occupying, some of them are occupying very beautiful houses that are under this department of, under infrastructure, under the construction unit. But Chair, I'm simply saying that let us insist on that part. That we sort of put it that it becomes a practice and a standard presentation that when you deal with infrastructure in the department, the issue of innovation becomes an item agenda, so that we are able to ignite that. Same with the use of chemicals, for example, Jen. This country is buying chemicals from one company somewhere in Captain Park. Every small company that we know of, maybe black companies, maybe small white companies, everybody buys from that white one company. And if you will know, Minister, the levels of, I don't want to get to be this corruption present, but only from corruption and nothing else positive. But it's an area that we may want, when we talk transformation now, you may want to focus our energy into ourselves in this department. Why can't we help black-owned chemical manufacturers? Give them support, let them stand. DTI is there. I mean, you come from that area of, you know, working with the trade and industry and others. The issues of pipe, for example, under this, when you talk of what's called a transformation in the construction unit, you just look at the value chain, the supply of valves, supply of pipes, a number of things that get supplied, that get consumed by construction unit. Then you then say, in particular percentage of that, can be supplied by black manufacturers. How are we going to ignore black industrialists if we are not insisting that construction unit must buy valves from black, you know, companies that are under what you call the black, under black industrialists? Trade and industry is funding these people, is helping them left and right. I know for a fact that as we speak now, trade and industry is supporting a company to start the pipes. A new university is not your normal steel pipe that we always buy from China, but something new. I know that trade and industry is involved in that. How do you bring them into the mainstream? Here is your Valha Makgara, a 12 billion rand project that is running, I don't know, it runs from Lesotho to somewhere, I think Paris, Kimberley goes to Morocco, I don't know where it's going. How do you bring in black people to be players in that space, right? So if you talk transformation, it was reflected, it's not about changing the color of the face of the director there, but it's what is it that gets consumed. Gradually we then get to the level of the leadership. By the time, Minister, you have black people are empowered, and that's jealously what we must do. You know, with all of this Monayana, you know, supply, you know, black industrialist comes in, you then say at the level, what is being consumed by the construction unit is the following. Then you package it jealously.
you go all out to Zambia, you make sure that you get a black company that does that thing, you know, and it gets supported, and jealously so, you come and present in the community, even treasurer, whoever that, even if you have to go to tender, we know that jealously, that black particular company will definitely qualify because it's the only black company that is producing such a watch call. This is what this government stands for, and it cannot be challenged. It means, but it has gone through the whole process of, you know, open tender process, but jealously making sure that a percentage is put aside for black industrialists. That's how it's going to be made them. You can't talk to industrial revolution when there's nothing that we are doing as department. So this department must come with a plan under construction unit, cement. Who's supplying you cement? Who's supplying you concrete? Right? Who's supplying you steel when you build the dams? There's so much steel that gets used there. You know, who's supplying? Who are the black people that are involved in the state industry? Who are the black people that are? These are issues that we must deal with when we deal with transformation. Rather than just looking at the color, we have so many white people there, so many black people there. Then you chase that white skill away, they go away. You know, they leave you there, the whole thing collapses. Because we have not prepared even the skills that must move into that particular space. But we have the skill, we can't chase away the skill in the name of transformation. We pair that skill with someone who's black, who'll come in, understudy, and I've seen it working. I've seen it, some of us were in some small business that we run in our corners there. You see, this thing is working. That here's a person with a skill here, rather than having them retire and come to Cape Town. Because all of them, the engineers, the what, they retire, they come to Cape Town. That's why Cape Town, where we are sitting today, it has more engineers and more town planners than anywhere in the country. They even volunteer to go and assist all this level because they got skills. We are not giving them the opportunity up there. We chase them away. I go, go, go. One transformation, rather than putting someone, work with you. As this old man retires, he then knows that, they, you know, I've empowered one darky there. These are things that we must look at. But I'm just saying that issue of transformation, it must not be only about color, but it must be about how do we bring in the black players into the space and how do we transform, you know, the value chain of the construction unit. You know, I mean, I'll be happy to see a black contractor supplying concrete. That concrete mix, the steel that comes in there, you know, people that prepare the roads, everything that happens there, there must be a minimum number that we set and say 40% of that must be, if you construct a dam, 40% of that construction must be black. Industrialists that must come in. So nothing stops us to do that. So Chair, let's put the condition, Chair, for innovation that we want the department, as we speak, because they have an entity there called the Water Research Committee that deals with this thing every day. But that is not linked with the department. It's a standalone there, that the commission, Water Research Commission, is a standalone. It does not make him, you can hear the water boards when they do boards, they don't use the Water Research. It's very rare that they use Water Research Commission. Those that use it is those obvious who want, you know, but the issue of the bonds still come in. People will just go and make bonds. Left and right, it's a bond, what's called business. Left and right, everyone makes a bond. Water Research Commission, the one that must determine that here there's water here, then drill here, drill here. Am I saying this? You know, and 200 bonds at the watch call are erected. How much money is spent? 500 million. But someone in this pocket that has 500 million. But there's no water at the end of the day.
Okay, Mr. Basson, last time I checked, you're meant to be somewhere 12.
Yeah, we've cancelled it. It's so important we've cancelled it.
Okay, yeah. That's fine. So that attaches the importance to this,
yeah,
what we're doing. Thank you.
Chairperson, just a last question from my side, unless something else boils up. Your dam safety inspections, DG, is that on track? And when can we receive a report on that? Because what bothers me is, and sorry for coming back to Kim William now, but in your inspections in 2002 and 2005 showed that there should be work done, remedial work done, to improve the safety of that dam, because it leaks water. Now, what bothers now, it's 2018, and now it's even leaking more water now, as been given to us by the people in Kim William. So I'm just worried, is our dam safety inspections ongoing? And if not, why not? But I would like to see a report on that.
Dam safety. Okay, what is clear is that there's a lot that we should still be talking about in this area, and clearly we're not going to finish off. One of those areas, for instance, one would have taken an interest in is your plant and equipment. Looking at the figures there, the book value and the acquisition costs and the depreciation levels you might wish to have spoken about, and the age of those assets, and what is the future of those assets, given the challenges you are confronted with. Now, these are the kinds of, you know, areas of interest we would have taken an interest in. The point is raised by Mr. Chauke, whether that 92 number on slide 25 would constitute what he was making reference to about the properties that the department has ownership of along the dam, the dams. Are you running your own as construction unit? I see there you're talking about the offices being two. Whether these are offices, and on the other hand, you have all those other regions. And what would that office building number two be referring to? Okay.
Thank you, Chair. We publish a dam safety report annually, and one has been published already. We are doing very well on that, as well as because it's done by the regulator. We report to the regulator. We're doing very well with inspections, but we are not doing well with fixing what's coming out of that. And the reason for that is, again, construction. When you sit with your team in one meeting, when dam safety tells you that, ma'am, we gave construction this job 2 years ago, they are not moving. Now you are caught between a brick wall and you don't know what to do and a hard place, because it's the same unit. The other one is a client, the dam safety team is a client, asset management team. Construction is the contract. But it is not their problem. It is supply chain on the other side. When sometimes you just need a crusher. Guys, everything will just grind to a halt. You just need a crusher. It takes about 8 months, 9 months for you to get a crusher. And as a result, for the past 4 years, dam safety has not been able to spend all its allocation. Because it's one thing that it is within our control, and we have kept it, and we have said dam safety, you can't give this job, because these guys built this dam. You can't give this job to an external contractor. But that has affected us again, because it's the internal construction company that's doing dam safety rehabilitation, but it's not moving. They are affected by the recruitment policy. They are affected by the delegation. So we are not doing well on fixing the problem. And then the 92, it is construction houses, but that's not the only, those are not the only houses we have. This is just construction. We have the operations. They also have houses and guest houses, by the way. It's what I have discussed with Minister. That at some stage, with all these challenges in private sector, when companies are experiencing financial challenges as we are, you would also look at your non-core and check whether shouldn't you be disposing them, or maybe making effective use of those non-core assets, because they are non-core assets. So we have raised it with ministers to say, we've got quite a number of houses, we've got quite a number of guest houses, we may have to look at a strategy. How can these assets be brought on board? It's either we decide to discard them and get money out of that that can be plowed back into project, or we can turn them around and become profitable. That, of course, depends on where, on the model that we are going to follow post the project that the minister is commissioning, where we are revising our value chain. I think that's about it. Oh, there are two offices that we are having. It's in Standerton and it's in Zanin. I must say that Zanin one is quite a good office. And we were envisaging that it's beautiful, it's new. We were envisaging that we could use those offices with the CMA in that particular area. At some stage we were sharing it. We would really appreciate if with the new organizational transformation that we can also perhaps rationalize the office space that we are having, because it's still the same department reporting to the same minister. We may have to review how we've structured, but that's again, those are assets. They belong to the department and then can be used for the benefit of the department.
Chair, can I have a follow-up quickly? Just a comment, if you allow.
Yeah.
So could I then say that with the dam safety inspections, that our dams is worth more than 100 billion rand, could be even 200 billion rand, could be on risk, because what you don't fix this year, next year it's going to be even worse. And that creates a problem, Chair, because how safe is our dams if they don't fix the dams? They know what's wrong with it, but their internal struggles with getting work done is putting our dams on risk.
Maybe one of your DDGs might just have to pay for having come here, so that she doesn't just come and keep quiet. And perhaps another classical example of what Mr. Person is making reference to talks to our experience when we went to Madibeng. We clearly saw the problem. The problem is one wastewater treatment plant that has no capacity. It's spills raw sewer that runs into a river. Crocodile, if I'm not mistaken. And that raw sewer literally feeds into the dam called Hartis Dam. And the department would have attempted to fix what was in the surface. And clearly, without fixing that wastewater treatment plant, giving it more capacity, you are literally going to throw money into a bottomless pit. You're not going to fix, hence the dam, it is in that state as we speak today. Just to come closer to the point raised by Mr. Person, just another classical illustrated situation that we find today. At some point, you know, the department was saying it is fixing the dam. But only last week, if I'm not mistaken, 2 weeks ago, one of our colleagues who's still there, Philly, he was showing me the green, what do you call that layout? Algae. That is still there, taken from a picture, from an aerial view picture. I think one of you guys was talking to me the other day, a month or so ago, that clearly there is work done there in that dam. But 2 weeks ago, if not last week actually, I must be honest, he was showing me on his phone a picture of that situation in that dam. Problem there has been identified. There is no capacity in that wastewater treatment plant. Clearly, you need to work together. As a result, that municipality, I'm aware, I'm sidetracking, but still on the same issue. They literally pay three times that they would normally pay in treating that water as their main abstraction point. So the ripple effects there are too huge to think of. Just one example on this one specific dam in relation to the point that Mr. Person was raising. Thank you.
Minister, Chair, and honorable members, I think, Chair, you are referring to the RDPS poor dam. That dam, we have developed a 12-point plan. As we speak, currently we are involved in the biological intervention program, which is trying to remove the hyacinth that is currently in the dam. We are working closely with the Working for Water, and we have about 200 people that are currently removing the hyacinth and the algae on through, it's a labor intensive program. We have also identified all the municipalities that are discharging to the dam. It's a number of municipalities, because it goes as far as the city of Joburg, because the catchment, all those wastewater treatment works, they discharge to the dam. What we are struggling with is the implementation of the waste discharge charge system, which is going to help us in terms of laying charging those that are discharging to the environment. We have issued a number of directives to the municipalities, but the enforcement of those directives have been limited. I think Honorable Person is aware of the our challenges with regard to issuing enforcement to municipalities, mainly around the issues of intergovernmental relations. So I think there are interventions that are in place in terms of trying to deal with the hard BS. It is also going to be a focus area for this week, because it is the Water Week is going to be focusing on those interventions that are happening in hard BS world.
I was not going to speak, Chair, but I'm triggered by the DDG again, that, you know, the issue of RDPS and the cause for that algae in RDPS, Chair, it's nothing else but contamination of the stream that supplies RDPS there. If you cannot address the storage system that moves into RDPS, you will keep on spending millions and millions of rands every year, every day, and we're not going to win that one. The issue of waste water treatment plants that have collapsed in that particular area, starting as far as Cosmos, starting as far as past the Alexander, the Jokscale River, if those things are not addressed, you will keep on spending money every day, and you're not going to win the war. Now, innovation comes in again. The department is being approached by a number of people who have solutions. We have not tested any of those solutions yet. You may want at some point a minister, both yourself and local government, because the problem of RDPS starts from local government. You may want to deal with local government on the wastewater treatment plants, because you're not going to win that battle. You keep on spending millions and millions there,
and that nothing is going to happen. Local government minister, or Minister Mkhize now, must be approached to deal with that issue of wastewater treatment plants that feeds into the streams that go to RDPS for them. That's the solution for some of these problems. We have gone to Madibeng the other day on the internal issues around Madibeng. I think we've gone to that tannery in Abator, which were really contaminating the whole system there too. You know, and I think that has been resolved so far. And again, if we don't do that exercise, Minister, the RDBS is a good business for those that are doing business there, working in that water. Within the department, it's good business, it's good money that gets spent into that particular area. So these are things that we must look at. It's the same as the contamination of the Vaal River. We went to Mpumalanga not long ago, where at the, what is that municipality, where?
Secunda.
The entire waste treatment plants collapsed. They've all collapsed. All of them. Now what is happening, the water goes directly, not even water, I'm not talking wastewater, goes directly into the Vaal River. It contaminates the whole stream of Vaal River, the whole river system of Vaal River is contaminated because the local government don't have capacity to maintain the wastewater treatment plants. Six of them in that Secunda, only one is working at 30%. The department tried to intervene nationally, but it's not sustainable because there's no capacity to maintain wastewater treatment plant by municipalities again. So hence the issue that comes in is that the point that the chair was raising, in fact, you may in fact at some point with the working of partnership with local government, ignore your water board to assist with issues of wastewater treatment plants. Around the capacity, total, there's no capacity, municipalities don't have. So we'll keep on, you know, cleaning, and we spend more money on chemicals, in fact, at the end of the day, check. That this water, this raw water that you get, you spend more money, in fact, to clean it again and sell it back to very same municipalities again because of the collapse of wastewater treatment plants. And that thing, I think, Minister, is a national disaster, that one. Because local government do not focus on it. That's why I'm saying that you may want to ignite both with, I mean, it's funded again. Well, local government has money for that. You may want to bring in your water board at whatever level, but for them to just to be in charge, working together with municipalities to deal with a wastewater treatment plant. If that water can be cleaned properly, it becomes easier. It goes to the stream, to the river, and it reaches RDPS for them, it's better off than what you are dealing with. There is it's an exercise that you will not finish. You will keep on cleaning every year because we are not addressing the cause of the problem that leads to that contamination.
Okay, Mr. Mgoni.
Summary, Minister. You know, in Mpumalanga.
Concern and noted, Mr. Gallo.
If you can go and check in Mpumalanga. You know, we have not been focusing along in Mpumalanga. But it's similar to what happened around the Madibeng and it's similar. We'll be having a lot of water, but not drinkable. A lot of water, but not drinkable. It has come to my attention that most of the municipalities there are unable to deal with these water waste treatment plants. And these affluents literally go to the streams. And sometimes even communities, they see that when they put this on the glass, how is this water? You understand? And they're even unable to treat the same water from their storage. The storage where there should be a reticulation. So, to the visit we made around February, one municipality told us, in full view of everyone, saying, Tine, we can't, we are failing as a municipality. So if people, if a mayor tells you that, you must sound dangerous, there's a problem that is coming. The one will be having a volatile situation where people say, you are killing us. And they're pointing at you, not the municipalities. So we must check that. And the chairperson, I was not happy that we don't have those. I have noticed there was this departmental official from the region. But our national and our politicians, I would have loved that day that we had a senior person when we were visiting there in Mpumalanga. So that when we come here, they know exactly what we're talking about. You see, not a regional person and the like who might not be taking decisions. Isn't it that when we go there, these people expect us, they expect change after we've come in there. So next time if we say we're with a visit, make plans that you send a senior person, we go, a person we can interact with on a daily basis. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Mr. Chairperson.
Minister, whilst the Chairperson started now with the wastewater treatment plants, it's true that Arctis has got a problem, but all over the country we've got a problem. We've got 824 wastewater treatment plants in the country. Could be a little bit more. This figure comes out of the Green Drop Report of 2014, which was done in 2013, and ever since that report, we haven't seen any report on our wastewater treatment plants. 84% of those plants are releasing untreated or inadequately treated sewer into our rivers. And in a report of the Water Research Commission, 82% of our rivers are already polluted with sewer plants. So I think it is very important that we get a new green and blue drop report out of the department that should be done on a yearly basis. We must get that report. But 2014 was the last report, and it's a bi-yearly report we get. But we haven't seen any report since that, so I presume that it's even worse than the 2014 report at the moment.
Mrs. Fisher.
Thank you, Chair. I sit here and I listen to the meetings that I've been attended since I'm appointed to this position. And I'm just thinking that DWS is the custodian of water in South Africa, and yet we do not claim our space. And yet we allow that this absolute pollution of water is continually taking place in every stream, dam, and in every municipality, because municipalities are incapacitated to take charge. The water authorities are not coming to the game. They are not doing what they're supposed to do. There is no water quality testing. In Northwest, there was in 2012, Edna Molewa, then as the Premier, called out a directive of water that has been contaminated that has never been lifted. And the water is not being tested. We sit with people getting sick timelessly again and again and again of water and serious contamination into the drinking water. I just think it's time that we as the water authority of South Africa call people to their duties and see that they comply with what they're supposed to do. Because I know since 2008 that 60 tons of autophosphates are running into the hot Hartbeespoort Dam, and that is so proud of coming from sewage works. That is absolutely detrimental to mix the two, and that's where you get it, that you get the blue-green algae. So it's absolutely detrimental that we have to look into that as the authority and the custodian of water in South Africa, especially quality control and the fact that we stop not only sewage but also industries adding stuff like vanadium and stuff like that into water, and that is absolutely doing a lot of damage to our rivers and dams. Thank you.
Did I see your hand, Mr. Hugo? Mr. Gala?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I don't have a question, Chair. But I'm very much interested in getting a progress report as far as the construction of Umzimvubu Dam is concerned. Because promises were made in that part of the community. And if you listen to the public discourse, you will find that the people of Alfred Nzo District Municipality are complaining because their hopes were made to be high, given the fact that that region is suffering as far as water is concerned. And job opportunities were also promised there by the former president. Can we get a progress report in that regard? Thank you.
Granted, I see you want to, Miss Hugh, you want to say something?
No, just one comment, since the new minister is now with water and sanitation. I would just like to find out, maybe from the minister, because the area that I'm coming from, Beaufort West, it is all drought, and then you've got a lot of department that comes and donate a lot of boreholes. With I think rural development, they last time also donated money to fit some of the boreholes. How do they, some of these departments interact in terms of who's called money in terms of?
Maybe just one. Mr. Chagas is on a call. Mr. Chagas is on a call. Just wait for him a bit. Oh, sorry about that. Okay, you can continue, Mr. Hugo.
Yeah. So basically, that's my point in terms of how do some of the departments go in and donate some boreholes, money to fit the boreholes and so on. Thank you.
Okay, sorry, we had to expose him for being ill-disciplined. We are these political animals we are. We are going to be told that we only have one item for the agenda. But being these political animals we are, we veer off. Once one specific matter is addressed and we all wake up, it became a wastewater treatment plant and the status in which they are in the country, the plant, so to speak, that led us to the blue drop and green drop. And it is now Mzimpubu. And all the promises being made, Mr. Hugo has further raise the issues related to drought. Now, obviously, the water story is not a simple matter. And once you touch on this one, and the other one leads to the other. So that's where we are. I take it that we shall have covered a great deal of issues. Some of the issues raised, frankly speaking, were not addressed or responded to appropriately. We take note of those. We shall have to put it in writing and expect the department to bring forward those areas that have not been responded to. And I would imagine some of your officials, acting DG, have picked up some of those areas that were not responded to or adequately thereof. Let's give it to you, Minister, and your team, and then we close the meeting for today.
Thank you, Chair. What I'm learning in this committee is that this is mission impossible. There's no way that you get something that says everything is doable, this can be done. Everything is impossible in this committee, which is a sad thing. That's a political comment, Chair. Now, your question, your last point, for example, is you're saying there are questions that were not responded to adequately or at all. Now, we came here for an item. And what has happened is that that item has given birth to many other questions, some of them not relevant to the item that we were called here for. And therefore, we prepare for this thing. So in other words, you're telling me that when I come to this committee, it says to me, we want a report on ABC, but when we get here, there will be A, B, C, D, E, F, G, which makes it impossible to satisfy the committee. I've been in Parliament for 25 years, and I've been sitting in these committees for many years. But I think what they do, I'm not criticizing you, Chair. I'm just trying to make sure that I do the right thing because I respect the committee. I would like to, you know, they say to you, this is what we want you to report on, and you prepare on that, you present that, and they deal with that matter, and then you go away. But I've learned here in this committee that that's not the case. But I've written a lot of the questions that the honourable members have asked here. When I get back, I will ask a lot of questions on it. I am very happy with them, these questions, despite what I've just said. It was an observation. I'm very happy because they make me understand exactly the depth of the problem that we faced with in the Department of Water and Sanitation. For that, Honorable Chair, I must thank you very much as a committee. It is helpful. The thing is that the reason I like all these questions, particularly these questions that are EFD, those questions are helping us in terms of when we shape because we have to reshape the department. There's no doubt about it. That's the goodness of these questions that you're asking. to reshape it in such a way that, in fact, these questions which are asked are easy to answer. Because once you do so, once we answer these questions on our own, and I would be happy if 5 months down the line the committee says, that looks better because of what you have done yourselves to ask such deep questions. I come from a small municipality, as you would know, Chair, and it's a coastal municipality. When I went home last 2 weekends ago, I read in the local newspaper that there was a effluent coming from the septic tanks, not just in the township, but also in town. So I thought immediately, oh, by the way, I'm in water now. And I was saying, the honorable members in the committee will ask all sorts of questions. Now, I'm saying you are correct. You are actually reflecting what is happening exactly on the ground, complicated as it may be. One thing that you've asked, I think the honorable member, Mamu Bangane. Yeah, Mamu Fesser. the point she's making, not a question, she says, you are the water authority in the country, but you're not claiming that space. I think that's basically, from what I'm learning, is the key. I'm sorry to request you to comment on this committee. I do request you to comment on this point. It's not part of what we were here for, but I think out of the questions I'm learning something here. One of the things what we want to do is, I've said already, we've asked for a value chain analysis, and that's work in progress now, if one of the members will remember. Now, the other thing I came to out of the discussions, particularly learning from this committee's questions, was to say, which is why that point that the honourable member has made, is to say we need to have a national water resources and services authority. I haven't seen this thing in the department yet, maybe because I'm still learning about it. Because if we had that, that question would really be dealt with. Because if you had that, as I said the other day, you have the ESCOM model. And then you have a National Water Resources and Services Regulator. Now, then these questions are questions mainly of monitoring and evaluation also embedded in these questions. Because if we had a strong monitoring and evaluation mechanism, these things, in other words, as a regulator, these issues that are arising, the green algae and all of those things, they shouldn't be there. They shouldn't be there. I said to the team, this is what I want to see. This is the second assignment I've given them. Let's deal with that. The third one is one that you've discussed here. That's what the construction unit, the water trading entity, and TCTA. Now, when we're trying to transform the department, there shouldn't be holy cows. TCTA can be treated as a holy cow. I had a meeting with the chairperson and one board member last week, Friday, and explored this possibility. They said they're going to discuss that in the board, and I want to meet with the board on that. Because part of what I think we should be doing, and I would like the committee to be very critical looking at this, as you have done today, continue to do so, because that's what will assist us. Is to then say, if we had a unit, because this was designed, by the way, in 2005 already. Yesterday, when I said with the DDG, I said, this is what I want to see. The DDG said, but Minister, in 2005 already, that was designed completely, including the TCTA. Now, if it was rejected then, whether it was rejected by trade unions or by, you know, the Reserve Bank or Treasury, whatever, it's immaterial now. The question is, the point is, that which was identified then to be a problem that needed to be resolved this way has actually escalated into what you have been describing here as a major problem for the water resources and services function in South Africa. So when we meet again with whoever was objecting, we will say, but look at what has happened over the last so many years. Look at where we are now. In fact, we are in a worse situation that could have been prevented then. That is what is in my mind, and I think as you were talking here and as members making your points, Chair, all of the honourable members here, I'm very happy with the points you've made here, let alone that they went far beyond what we came here for and therefore disadvantaged us in terms of dealing with the matter in a satisfactory manner. Thank you very much once more, Chair. I really appreciate your comments here. I'm enriched by them. Thank you very much.
As I mentioned, Minister, you know, having these political animals we are, once triggered by any, the rest of us are woken up. What we appreciate more, granted, you may not have been prepared for any of those. However, going forward, we normally get a written response or written responses to a number of those. We have just been doing some admin here with Madia about some of those areas that we have been talking about that would warrant some written feedback in the coming week, just before we take time off. Among others, for instance, there was an issue about litigations. The number of litigations that the department and water boards have been finding themselves into, and the costs of those litigations, both in the water boards and also in the department. If the department can also bring us the status as we speak now of that overdraft, whether it comes from Reserve Bank or National Treasury, if we can also be familiarizing with a written or rather an agreement, written agreement that you have as a department with either Reserve Bank or National Treasury. We don't want to assume that it is Reserve Bank or it is the other way around. Yes, you did give us a copy, draft of your bill, insofar as water and sanitation is concerned. But also, we have not been talking about the Water Research Commission amendment. That, if it can also be brought, and then, of course, the last point is about the written instruction on the outsourcing that talks about having to do anything outside of the construction unit. The other areas, they relate to the master plan and also the asset register and also Mzimbubu Dam. It's a matter that has been coming up since 1961. Mzimbubu Dam. President President Zuma was he had to go and do a sod turning in 2013. You would have imagined when a sod turning happens, it means your ducks are on the roll, which is quite unfortunate, and then it can only be the officials, minister, that put you in that situation, because they shall have been expected to have done some groundwork for anyone to say, you know, President, we are now ready to come. So it can only, as I repeat, be officials from the department who shall be expected to do such a program for either the minister or for the president. Worse when it comes to the president. That is your highest office in the land. We are at that point now where we shall have to adjourn. We have only come for two sessions this week, which is our committee week and also the questions to the deputy president, oral questions. Tomorrow is a public holiday. We do not have anything on Thursday. And then a number of us are out of Cape Town tomorrow morning, I would imagine. And then we are back on Tuesday and Wednesday next week, expected of us to deal with the war on leaks briefing. What we are looking for on that one is a briefing by the department on a whole range of areas. The draft letter is somewhere here. That is going through to the department. We would really also wish to... one area of interest, without taking much of the time of members, is the program within which this sub-program resides. The allocation of the funding, the budget spent thus far, the contractual agreements in place, the list goes on. We also would impress upon the department to bring along as well your implementing agents. There are two of those, it's a water board and also your energy and water sitter. We're not sure which water board, you know, you get to hear all things. But that is a matter that we shall have to leave to the department. But it is important that we get, you know, a proper way forward on this specific one. Now, that's what we have. Plus, also, of course, the minister has written briefing us about a summary of your bulk tariffs and also wastewater as well. Those are the two briefing sessions that we're going to be having through for next week. That shall be it, unless there are other things, members. The meeting is indeed adjourned. Thanks for the time and attention. Thanks.